When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Third and 5 at the 21, so they're not in the red zone
yet. Not there yet, but they're knocking on the door.
Last year, Cowboys were number one on third down offense, Browns on defense. Third down, Prescott back, looking deep to the middle. He's got a man all alone, tap at the goal line. It's Cooks for the Cowboys' first touchdown of the year, Brandon Cooks.
Brad Sham, Cowboys Radio, dominant performance. Final score doesn't really tell the story. Dallas wins 33-17 over the Browns on the road, Perloff, but it was dominant. Like, it was never that close or didn't even feel close at all. Welcome to the show, by the way. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, so glad to have you. Good to be Dak Prescott on a day when he signs the biggest extension in the history of the NFL. Yes, you heard that correctly. The history of the league. He becomes the first $60 million man in NFL history. He goes out and looks very, very good. I wonder if all those Cowboy fans that jumped off the bandwagon after the loss to the Packers in the postseason, Pearl, are back in and sucked back in by what they saw yesterday.
Oh, I don't think they jumped off. Cowboys fans are capable of instant amnesia. By April, everybody loved Dak Prescott again. Do you notice this offseason, Dak Prescott got a lot of positive press? It's like the Packers game never happened. So I think everybody was kind of waiting for this. My sense over the last week, a lot of signs came out of Dallas that this was going to happen. The contract, Jerry went quiet at the end. I promised to get a blue star tattooed on my forehead. He said, I'm not going to talk about Dak Prescott anymore. So that was a lie, of course. But Jerry started giving signs. Here's the thing. If you actually look back to this offseason, did Jerry ever say anything mean about Dak Prescott? He said nothing, but I want this guy on the team. So maybe in that case, we should have listened to Jerry Jones because he followed through. And now that he signed the deal, it felt all very inevitable to me.
Let's hear a little from Dak Prescott. Can I hear cut 26, please, Nick? This is Dak talking about the contract and just how last minute this thing all happened.
I've told you guys before, I don't play for the money. I think when you focus and you control what you can control, things like that just happen. So, I found out probably an hour, probably 20 minutes before it was, publicized to everybody else.
Right, 20 minutes before. And then, this thing happened about 2.5 hours maybe before the game kicked off. And, the game was a 4 o'clock game. It happened about 2.5 hours before the 1 o'clock games kicked off. So he had a little bit of time to sit with it, but that's got to be an incredible day. Also, it's amazing when someone says, I don't play for the money after they just signed the richest deal in history. What a luxury to be able to say, the money doesn't even matter to me, guys.
Well, he already has $150 million in the bank. Yeah. So, like, I don't even know why he was bothering with this contract. Like, what do you need? He can't spend that money in 3 lifetimes. There's no state tax in Texas, Maggie.
Somehow I think he'll find a way to spend some of it. Here's Dak Prescott talking about the only motivation he has left.
It's my only motivation. Hold up my part of this deal and just deliver that. That's my motivation.
And he's talking about a Super Bowl there. I mean, here's the thing. If history is any guide, you just signed Dak Prescott to a big extension, and congrats, he looked really good, but you're not winning. Dak has shown that he can't win in the postseason. We've seen this game 100 times. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay it or poo-poo it. Good for the Cowboys. They should feel good about this because they never had a plan B. But talking Super Bowl, I mean, don't fool us. Like, we all have seen that in the biggest moments, unfortunately for Prescott, he's come up rather small.
True. Very true. The NFC, I think all the contenders have flaws. Jordan Love just got hurt, for example. The Lions secondary looks awful. The Eagles are a mess defensively. The Cowboys and the Niners have all these contract issues. The Cowboys on paper should be right there. And
they will be.
They've had actually little set. Remember the game where they beat Tom Brady in the playoffs?
They did. That was a great one.
They've had moments.
Sent Tom Brady into retirement for real.
I know. I can't believe I'm doing this. But, hey, I'm not completely counting the Cowboys out in the playoffs, which will come back to burn me. Listen, that you just look at their depth chart. I know they have young linemen, and hopefully Tyler Guyton will get a little better to tackle. But that defense looked amazing. And all these, it looks like they really know how to draft defense now. They have rookie cornerbacks coming in. They have linebackers coming out of nowhere, new edge players. They really look speedy and tough on defense.
Yeah, Mike Zimmer getting a lot of praise from Tom Brady on the broadcast yesterday. And Eric Kendricks looking very good until he left the game, I think, momentarily. But he was, there's definitely a difference here. And I think maybe you had a little bit to do with the fact that when you are playing with a lead as the Dallas Cowboys, that's when Micah Parsons can really do his thing. And he always has to be accounted for. But when you have Deshaun Watson, who's got to drop back and pass because he's in third and eight all day, I mean, that's where you can really tee off. So it's a credit to the Dallas defense. They looked very, very good yesterday. And Deshaun looked terrible. I mean, that's on the other. This is the flip side of the coin, and we'll talk about the Cleveland Browns. This could end up being the worst contract in the history of the NFL, and I don't even know what the close second would be.
Russell Wilson, but yeah.
Russell Wilson, but let's see him play. I mean, maybe Russ has still got a little something left in the tank. Deshaun Watson, there's Andrew Brandt is the former agent and worked for the Packers and is sports business like royalty. He said this is the hardest contract to trade or cut in the history of the NFL. Deshaun Watson is the quarterback for the Browns like forever.
One more thing about the Cowboys. Yeah. Remember the name DeMarvion Overshawn? There's a highlight out there you can see on social media. It's like a bullet train.
Yeah, he was hurt last year.
Yeah, towards ACL, he was a star at Texas, and he is going to be another star. It's funny, they lost a guy, Sam Williams, who I thought could have been a star as well in the preseason. They have defensive players. I'm telling you, this team is going to be 12-5, Maggie. Well. It was actually, in a way, the most predictable week because they looked kind of like last year. And Ezekiel Elliott looked like he had a little juice. To me, that was a big deal. They used the run game a lot on Sunday, which they've gotten away from under Mike McCarthy. I feel really good as a Cowboys fan today. Again, you're right. We'll see it come playoffs, but we can't ask for more in week one.
What is the ceiling for the Cowboys, I think, is the question after you've seen this game. And, you know, yeah, they look good. The defense definitely looked great. But you know what? The defense looked really great last year. We were comparing them to the 85 Bears and the 86 Giants and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, when they play the Giants.
Well, Michael Parsons, Lawrence Taylor situations going on, no?
I don't remember. I mean, it might have been because they played the New York Giants, who they completely own. But I remember the Eagles dropped like 40 on them. They're good. I think they're much better this year. When Deron Bland comes back, and he's a ball hawk, I think if you nail it.
Trayvon Diggs is back.
Yeah, you nail it. When Micah Parsons has a lead, he can really go to town. But he played well even early in the game. He's great. I think that they should be excited. Maybe I would get buying into Tom Brady a little bit. Tom Brady made it sound like Mike McCarthy was Vince Lombardi.
He was putting over McCarthy, to use a wrestling term, a lot. And he's like, McCarthy's just calling this brilliant game. It's like, yeah, it did look good. You're right. They used the running game. They had three running backs, and they were rotating them in. And I thought it was a pretty, like, I would say vanilla. That was a normal, you know, CeeDee Lamb made a couple of great catches. I didn't see anything that was so revolutionary from the offensive side for the Dallas Cowboys. I didn't understand the heaping praise. But again, they did neutralize Myles Garrett, who really was not a factor yesterday.
I mean, they dominated this game. You can't say enough nice things. It was in Cleveland. A huge, huge factor was Cleveland's two tackles being out. So Cleveland didn't have a chance from the second they got an offense. You see, oh, something's wrong here. And it was also Deshaun Watson was terrible. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
The combination, there's a lot to be determined about that. I'm very bullish on the Cowboys right now. I feel like they are going to be a really high seed in the playoffs and blow it.
Well, that's not going to help anybody. That's the same thing that always happens. See, I think the question is, like, So Dak is now signed. The $231 million guaranteed, obviously, beats Deshaun Watson by $1 million. And he signed for $240 overall. It's a four-year deal. It will kick in after this season. It's, you know, it's a lot. Mike McCarthy doesn't have a deal, though. So CeeDee Lamb got paid. Dak Prescott got paid. And we believe Micah Parsons will get paid. So really, it's just McCarthy who's kind of dangling out there. And, you know, if they put together another good regular season but blow it in the playoffs, do you actually start over with another coach, or does Jerry remain loyal to Mike McCarthy?
Did you listen to Jerry this offseason, Maggie? The thing is, you know, when your coach is on his final year, he's going to coach really hard. He said something to that effect, that he liked having guys on the last year, which he...
he could have done with Dak. But
I mean, honestly,
it.
This is a guy who wouldn't fire Jason Garrett for half a decade. Do you honestly think he's going to get rid of McCarthy if he wins 12 games every year?
Also, we gotta put like some kind of lasso around these Perloff impersonations. It's just...
I don't think that was so bad.
It wasn't that bad.
What? Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding?
It
sound like, you sound like Dusty Rhodes. That was terrible.
Well, first of all, I'll take that as a huge compliment from you, EJ. What is terrible about sounding like Dusty Rhodes?
Well, no.
When
like
you're not
Rhodes
doing Dusty
awesome,
Rhodes.
Awesome. But when you're doing Jerry Jones, that becomes a little bit of an issue.
EJ, you see, the thing is...
it's just so bad.
No, you got to do... Jerry Jones and Bill Clinton sound exactly the same.
Oh,
so you have
Arkansas?
To do. You have to do sort of a little more wheezy. There's got to be like a... It has to sound a little more rugged, but all right, give me some time. Let me work on it. Let me warm up.
You gotta lose the lisp. If you lose the lisp, you'll be good.
Okay, EJ. No,
it got worse.
He's in his head now.
Sound like something from Beverly Hillbillies. I don't know what that was.
855-212-4227. What is the ceiling now for the Cowboys? And I'd like to know for our listeners like Big Dave and others who are these diehard Cowboy fans who wrote them off.
Yeah.
Not going to root. They're never going to bring me back in. Well, now you win 33-17 in Cleveland on opening night, and you got Tom Brady praising your quarterback and your head coach. Are you back in?
Yes. And what did you think of my Jerry Jones impersonation to Cowboys
that.
Fans?
It'd be a landslide.
Is it Maggie?
And Jerry is kind of like a Christopher Walken. Like, everyone's got one.
Yeah.
And they're all generally good. Except yours.
I have nothing to fight back with here. I know my impersonations are not good.
Perloff has a way of his impersonations. Well, all of a sudden, the person that he's trying to impersonate will not only switch like countries, dialects. Like, you'll start with Cam Smith, the golfer, and he'll end up sounding like a poo from The Simpsons. Like, you just totally change. It's like, we're not even in the same part of the world anymore.
Throw another shrimp on the Bobby, Maggie.
It's so bad.
Ryan is that now hurt. Regretting that he backed up my Jerry Jones impersonation.
When you first did it, it sounded good.
Yeah, I know.
And then you tried doing it again, and it just went downhill from there.
The reason is I knew what I wanted to say as Jerry Jones. I need a script.
That's not going to help. 855-212-4227.
All right, we'll see. By the way, I've kept this hidden from you, Maggie. I have to make a formal declaration/announcement later in the show, and I want it on the record, and it involves you.
Oh, it involves me?
Yes, it's very much about you, and it's going to be very formal. I would hold a press conference if we could, but you can't really do that on a live sports talk radio station.
Well, I mean, you know, we've got microphones and we've got cameras, so we're basically halfway there. It says here on our rundown, 8:40 a.m. Eastern Time, Perloff makes an official statement, and nobody would tell me what it is.
No one knows what it is.
I stopped asking.
No one knows what it is except me and Jerry Jones.
Oh, Jerry, you got Jerry involved?
No, I just was throwing that out.
Oh, your alter ego?
Can I do this whole thing in a Jerry Jones accent?
Not if we want an audience. 855-212-4227. What?
I apologize. Am I killing the audience?
Slowly. Slowly and painfully. You are welcome to weigh in on your favorite team. We're going to try to get to everybody today, but you've got something to say about your team. You are welcome at 855-212-4227. We'll get to you. Also, the Cowboys. What's the ceiling for this team after we watch their week one dominant performance over the Cleveland Browns? Poor Browns fans. Good grief. You don't deserve this, guys. going to watch Deshaun Watson just stink. And you can't even, it's not even like lovable loser because he's so impossible to root for. This is just a tough spot. 855-212-4227. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. Everybody here is generally tired but feeling good. It was such a fun weekend. Oh, my God. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. No sleep. Awesome. Lots of lost bets. I don't even want to get started on that. But give us a call and talk about your team, 855-212-4227. Feel like it's a funny thing this week, Maggie. I don't think there's like one game that stood out as elite. I feel like every game was interesting in its own right. So I'm curious to hear from everybody.
Yeah, the Cowboys looked really good. The Cowboys looked really good. If you take it back to Thursday, the Chiefs, you watch everyone else play. It's like, man, the Chiefs, let's not forget about them. Yeah. They looked really good.
That feels like years ago, but okay.
And you know who else was dominant? The New Orleans Saints.
Wow.
But they were playing maybe a team that I questioned a couple months ago whether they would go 0-17.
And that's hardly a hot take that the Panthers could be 0-17.
Just saying. It's hard to go 0-17. You're going to run into a win here and there. Let's hit the phones, 855-212-4227. We're asking, what is the ceiling for the Dallas Cowboys? Daryl is in California. Happy Cowboy fan today. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, how you doing, Maggie, this morning?
We're doing great. What's on your mind?
Just want to say how relieved I am that the Cowboys defense finally came out looking like they're supposed to look. But I'm also relieved to see the results of the longest poker game that I've ever seen. Because in the offseason, Jerry Jones goes, hey, I'm all in. I'm like, well, what does that mean, you know?
Well, it wasn't just the longest, Daryl. It was also the dumbest poker game. Exactly.
But yesterday he showed his hand by giving him that contract. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what he meant. Okay. But also, you know, like you said about being dumb, being the dumbest poker game, it was like, I was wondering, is Jerry going to wake up? Does he really know what he did? Because a lot of people was like, man, Jerry's kind of senile these days. Do we really think that he might gave back $240 instead of $240 million? He may wake up tomorrow and be like, wait a minute, I didn't say that, you know?
Daryl, as senile as Jerry may be, and Daryl, thanks for the call. Congrats to your Cowboys. As senile as Jerry may be, he definitely knows how many zeros are at the end.
Yeah.
The guy's good with money. I mean, the Cowboys are valued at $10 billion. I think we got to give Jerry a little bit of credit for
how successful
the team's been in that
definitely
way.
But I definitely don't think he's running the show. And based on like their draft, they have five rookies who made big contributions on Sunday. Somebody is drafting up a storm there. It can't possibly be Jerry Jones, right? Is he breaking down tape of Marshawn Nealand? I mean, somehow like they might be a really well-run franchise. I know that sounds weird, but I think that they just seem to be bringing in a lot of talent.
Yeah, but they pay their guys too late. So, yeah, they might draft well. That's one part of running a team. It's a big part.
Well, I mean, to get to 12 wins in a row, 12 wins 3 years in a row is an accomplishment in a sense. I do think that Jerry is the front man. I mean, that's not a hot take, is it? Jerry is definitely, I don't even know if he's like negotiating with Dak Prescott. I wonder if Will McClay is doing all of this.
He likes to say the buck stops with me. He'll be out there saying, like, it's me. Let's hear from Jerry, actually. Nick, can I hear Cut 11? He says, after paying Dak Prescott $241 million to $231 guaranteed, just get a million more than Deshaun Watson, Jerry Jones says the timing was right.
I'm happy that it's done. This was a time when it was right there for us to do. We were all set to go, and that's so critical. I've seen so many things that were worthy of doing that weren't done because you missed the timing to make it happen. And opening day up here against Cleveland, this was a great time to make it happen.
I mean, it could have also happened 2 months ago, and maybe you could have spread out a dead cap hit and try to do a few other things, but sure.
The weird thing is they cleared up a ton of salary cap space, which is bizarre. I don't understand that. Now they have tons of room this year and next year to sign Micah. Again, I mean, like legit. They're not even the top, like, 10 of the... There are a lot of teams that are even worse cap space than them. Because they, really, you think about it, they're not paying a ton of guys, just the big three. Then they have rookies and young players everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Trayvon Diggs makes a little bit of money, too. 855-212-4227. George is our Rams fan in L.A. George, that was a tough one. Losing in overtime last night to the Detroit Lions, but Stafford looked very good. What's going on, pal?
Yeah, I was very impressed with Stafford. Considering he lost two of his tackles and then another lineman, and then Puka Nacua got hurt, this Ram team, they're going to be okay, you guys. Trust me. Detroit had everything going their way. They won the coin flip.
Yeah.
Whoever wins that coin flip that game probably wins the game in overtime because both teams were exhausted at the end. But Stafford, like you said, was impressive. And the Rams, they're going to be okay. It's just one game, and, you know, it's a tough situation. And Detroit, their secondary, like Perloff said, is somewhat questionable.
Yeah, they got a rookie standing out there. You know, George, the one thing, and I'm glad you're not letting the loss get you down because, you know, it was a super close game, but the injury stuff from training camp is now followed you into week one, you know?
That's the concern.
Totally. And, yeah, you lost tackles. You still hung in the game, but you lost tackles, and who knows if Puka Nacua, this doesn't seem like a devastating injury by any stretch, but you need him out there.
Yeah. But you saw it yesterday. I think the coaching staff is real good. I mean,
of course.
McVay is really good. He just, whoever the, was called, well, it was McVay, put Aaron Glenn, the Lions defensive coordinator, into a blender. I mean, they had the wrong matchup on pretty much every single play of the entire game. I just think the Rams failed to punch it in the red zone, ended up costing them the game. I would agree that if they stayed at this level of health, Maggie, they'd be okay. But I think you're right. The health concerns are not going in the right direction.
Joe's in New York is a happy Vikings fan this morning. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Maggie. How are you?
We're doing great. What's on your mind?
So, first of all, tip of the hat to Jessica Pegula for getting into the finals. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And then what happened?
Sorry. I know.
It's all right.
I know.
Listen, she lost against a player who's basically been dominant this season.
Right. And she got as far as she's ever gotten.
That's
so
true.
Good job by her.
No doubt.
So, unfortunately, I was not able to watch the game yesterday, but I saw my Vikes beat the Giants 28-6. So, I'm hoping my defense really showed up yesterday.
Weren't able to watch the game. What were you doing?
I had some church stuff I had to do.
All right. Well, higher calling. You know, probably help you in the long run. Definitely want to keep the big man on your good side.
Maybe the big man helped the team win.
I'm going to be honest, Joe. Thank you so much for the call and for checking in. There's no shot God's a Viking fan. The amount of horrible, gut-wrenching losses. Just like I know God's not a Bills fan. Sometimes, you know, you got a higher power who's with you, and sometimes you got to work against it. It's just this facts, Perloff.
I am very curious, if Sam Darnold continues to play like this, at what point would you admit that Sam Darnold might be a good quarterback?
Is he going to keep playing like this?
At what point would you, Maggie Gray, say the following words?
Okay.
Sam Darnold is a good NFL quarterback.
I'll tell you
what would
exactly
he have to do?
When. I'll tell you exactly
Please.
When. San Francisco hosts the 49ers next week. Let's see how that goes. If he's awesome against the 49ers, then I'll tell you, I think that Sam Darnold is a good quarterback and the Jets ruined him and it wasn't all his fault and the Carolina Panthers ruined him and all of that. Let's see how it goes against San Francisco.
If you put his Jets stats through a Jets glasses statistician, he was a Hall of Famer. Considering the guy had more touchdowns and interceptions in New York. And look at the coaches he played with and look at the GMs he had. I don't know. Maybe he's better than you think.
Well, the GM, the current GM, was the one who showed him the door, but and basically traded him out of town and somehow got a second-round pick for him.
Who drafted him? Mike Maccagnan?
Mike Maccagnan.
Yeah. I think Darnold, I'm not saying he's great, but I do think he's a little better than you thought. With Kevin O'Connell calling the plays there in Minnesota, I think he's going to be medium. I think he might not do anything against San Francisco, but you're going to get enough out of him to be .500 at least.
Well, it helps have Justin Jefferson there.
Yeah. No, I know. Well, we were all aware of that, but I still think your Sam Darnold bias. It's hard to let go of for you.
It's not personal against Sam Darnold. It's the amount of time wasted in my life watching him play quarterback that is the issue. It's like, you know, it's like regret. Like, I can't get any of that time back.
This could have been fire yesterday. There's no doubt.
But the Giants are terrible.
All right.
Bogus, you're the Giants fan here.
What did that noise mean? That they're not
I'm just
terrible?
No.
I'm just saying right. Maybe Sam Darnold's okay. Maggie will not. By the way, he could win the Super Bowl, and you will not believe in Sam Darnold. I've heard you comment on him so many times,
and it's bad because I like him personally. I've done some interviews with him. He couldn't be a nicer guy, and he couldn't be a worse quarterback. No, there are worse quarterbacks
than
Darnold.
Even in Carolina, he had some moments, and you saw what's happening there. So I'm not so sure. I think he's at least medium.
It's possible. Jordan Addison, by the way, got hurt yesterday and didn't come back into the game, so it's something to keep an eye on. But Bogus is here, and he's a Giants fan, and I just want to say, working in New York, I worked at WFN for 5 years, and I saw some really bad teams and some awful seasons. I've never seen fans wait around after the game just to go to the player's exit and boo the quarterback. I've never seen that before. That happened yesterday to Daniel Jones. Fans were just waiting, some for autographs, which he didn't sign any of them because he kept it moving, just to boo him. Have you ever seen that?
Not after also leaving in the third quarter after his pick six. Like, fans packed up and bounced at that moment. I mean, it feels deserved. There's a lot of anger for him yesterday, a lot of just amazing memes and tweets and whatever yesterday, and it's hard to say that he and they don't deserve it. They are a bad, bad, bad football team, and it's been way too long now that they've been that bad.
The fact that they've been trying to build an offensive line for almost 10 years now, while their division rival, the Cowboys, just find guys and just put them together and it works out, it makes this just so much worse for the Giants. Yeah, EJ, you want to say something?
The Giants are in such a bad state that now the memes that I normally see about the Jets season being over after a quarter or two quarters, I'm now seeing routinely for the Giants. Like, that to me was mind-blowing yesterday. Like, it felt like they were just recycling the old memes and just changing the Jet logo for Giants logo to say season over. And look, the Jets season may be over tonight too. I don't know. I'm not here to gloat, but I never would have thought in this city that the Giants would be the team looked at as a team that just has no shot from basically kickoff. It's incredible what's happened. And Bogus is right. It's been too long that they've been so terrible.
Also, Saquon Barkley scoring 3 touchdowns for the Eagles didn't help headers. I mean, I know that happened on Friday night, but he looked awesome.
I don't know who John Meyer is, a cardiologist, but you need to get paid double for the season.
The catch that Saquon Barkley had in the end zone was oh my God, that guy is I rethink the whole drafting him second overall, which was a huge, colossal mistake, but God, he's good.
Yeah, and in case anybody didn't know why the Giants are wearing those bizarro uniforms, they're beginning their 100th season celebration. Like, every important Giant was at the game yesterday, and they watched that happen.
Well, I mean, those uniforms are better in black and white. Whoa. Can we just switch all the TVs back to when they actually wore those things? Because they were hard on the eyes, yes?
This has got to be, honestly, let's be real. This is a good day for the Giants. Like, you have to bottom this out. You have to clean house and get Carson back.
But they've already done this. This is not a good thing for the Giants.
But they've never been. They happen to have a high pick. Your Daniel Jones out of Duke was in the draft. They need to get into a real draft and get a franchise quarterback.
They also picked Saquon Barkley at number 2. They've done this before.
That was the 2018 draft.
Yeah.
The one with Josh Allen.
Well, they're not drafted.
You're forgetting they are, I think, the worst team in the NFL in the last decade. This is not a good day for the Giants.
Right,
they'll fire Joe Shane, they'll fire Brian Daboll, and they'll draft a quarterback.
And they've already fired 2 other GMs and three other head coaches.
Well, who would
you remember, Joe Judge?
But did they had Jerry Pat Reese Shermer? They fired, who was just a leftover from the last regime?
From a Super Bowl builder, yeah.
I think that they really need to start over. Just whatever happened before, just get everybody who was connected to the old team out of the building. That's what
no,
you
but
want.
The old team is the bad team. You're forgetting a whole level of turnover.
It's forgettable, yeah. To be fair to Perloff.
But did they have Gettleman as their GM?
After Reese. So they Gettleman. Yeah.
That was a horrible decision. They can't possibly do worse than GM. Don't you? Would you rather go? Let me ask this question. Would you rather be 7-10 this year or 1-16?
No. Oh, okay. Yes, I'd rather
process
be 1-16,
baby.
But we've done this already.
Did you really have? What's? Yeah, the 2 pick. Yeah, I don't know. You got.
I need you to go remember the last decade.
But wasn't that because Eli was still sticking around?
Yeah, they tried to do this thing where they were kind of trying to split the baby. They wanted to see if they
could. Right.
There's no splitting the baby anymore. There's none of that. So this is like a clean, clean break. There's never been a clean break this clean. I mean, come on. This is as clean as you get.
could be a race to the bottom, guys. We're going to have a few teams that could be very, very bad.
Oh, this is going to be, and by the way, the Panthers, Titans, Giants, maybe the Cardinals. There's a lot of teams that are going to need a quarterback next year.
I actually thought the Cardinals were, again, they should have won that game. I'm not worried about the Cardinals. Let's let Bogush move on, though. What else you got,
Pat? All the headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com. for restrictions and details. The Rams turned a 17-3 hole into a 2017 lead last night in Detroit, but allowed a tying field goal with 17 seconds left. Then watched the Lions march down the field for David Montgomery's one-yard TD run to lose 26-20 in overtime. As Perloff has said, Matthew Stafford's offense had the ball for 35 minutes, but only produced those 20 points. Stafford was picked off in the end zone. Sean McVay passed up a field goal for a fourth down try, didn't convert that, and another drive stalled at the goal line, settling for a field goal.
That was kind of the name of the game for us. Had our opportunities, but weren't able to capitalize on them.
So Stafford loses his latest game against his old team, and he also may have lost receiver Puka Nacua, who picked up a knee issue in the first half and did not return. Injuries are not the main issue for the Panthers, as you guys have been saying. It's just about their talent.
Out of a shotgun is Carr. Panthers bring four. Carr stands, now fires it deep. Middle of the field. Rashid Shaheed. See you later, bye. Touchdown, New Orleans. Rashid Shaheed. Middle of the field. Post pattern. 64 yards.
The long TD connection came less than 3 minutes into the opener. The Saints would score on their first 9 possessions, cruising to a 47-10 win. Bryce Young, 2 ugly picks, sacked 4 times to start his sophomore season. There's more than one unsettled QB situation around the NFL as this new season begins. Some of them might have rookies take over for veterans later in the year, like in New England, which is why ESPN did a segment yesterday on these delicate situations, which is how we got this story from Drew Bledsoe, who got jumped once upon a time by Tony Romo in Dallas.
Really didn't agree with that one. If you're watching this, Romo, you know this is true. The minute that he became the starter, he became pretty big in his own mind. And he was no longer the curious and inquisitive guy.
Which is not how things went in the more notable time that Bledsoe lost his job to a young QB.
That was the difference between him and Tommy. Tommy became the starter. He still was asking all the questions, where all of a sudden Romo was the guy that had all the answers.
Can we get Bledsoe in the booth? This guy's been great. Ever since the roast of Tom Brady, he has just been on a tear. I love
100%.
Him.
100%. Oh, he's great. That's a good point. He was much better than Brady.
I didn't like him this much when he was actually the Bills quarterback. I'm a big fan of him now.
He's got this vineyard. I mean, he might be a little looser, if you know what I mean. I'm just saying, like,
you think he's sampling the goods?
Well, I don't know. He sounds like he's way looser and more calm than Tom Brady. Like, he'll let it rip. Brady didn't really let it rip, but he didn't criticize anyone. Apparently, Drew Bledsoe will kill guys.
I love it. Can we get this guy a podcast? Everyone and their mom's got a podcast. I don't even want to listen to 90% of them. I would definitely tune in for Drew Bledsoe, though.
That might be a bridge too far.
I'm into it. He knows where the bodies are buried, and he's not afraid to say it. Also, Romo, by the way, Romo sounds like...
Sounds like
Chris Collinsworth
compared
like to
John Madden. Yeah, yeah. So polished.
And Chris Collinsworth sounds like Madden. I'm like, geez, I guess Collinsworth really is good at this thing, because Brady this is the thing about Brady, not to make it all about him and his debut yesterday, and I'm sure he'll get better, but all we've been hearing about this offseason is how hard he's been working at this. You know, he and Burkhardt are in a studio in LA somewhere doing games, like calling fake games, and he called every broadcaster and he's talking to him like, I don't see the fruits of that effort.
Well, maybe the over-preparation actually cost him and he was kind of tight.
But he just didn't sound excited.
Yeah, The problem is his voice is just annoying. Like, even if he's saying good things, I don't want to listen to his voice.
You think it's annoying? I just think it's not broadcaster-y.
He sounded a little bored, too. Maybe the game, there was a boring vibe.
I mean, the game definitely did not help, and I'm sure he was bummed by that. But I just, like, just from a simple, like, audio quality, I don't like his voice.
So here's the thing about the game being boring. So obviously Brady was on the Cowboys game yesterday. They win 33-17, and it wasn't even that close. It was a blowout. But This is the cool thing about Brady. Story time. Can I get some Brady stories? Mm. Got anything? The dog pound? I mean, they did a little about Mike Zimmer and how tough it was for him to face Zimmer defenses. But this is where you got to go. Brady story time, number one. And number two, this is where he can actually spread out a little bit and explain a little about what's going on. Did I ever get a question? Why do the Cowboys keep failing in the postseason? Just tee him up for that. Like, anything that he says is interesting. So, like, have him answer these big questions. Anyone?
Yeah.
Anyone?
He did go. There was one point at the end, he did a prepared speech on tough coaching and how he loves to be coached. And right in the middle of it, some backup cornerback, he's like, and that is, you know, accountability is the key to any organization. Oh, looks like they're dragging that cornerback off the field. And then he went back into his TED Talk. And then afterwards, oh, Kevin Burkhardt goes, thank you, Tom. Meanwhile, 3rd and 6, it just didn't work at all. So he was trying to do some speeches and things, and it was poorly timed. But it's week 1. All right, we're going to kill this guy?
No.
You can't.
I get it.
I mean, you've done this job.
He's called the Super Bowl this year. Like, we've got to get a little more pep in our step.
But both you guys have done this job. Is there any kind of like practice? Once that mic opens during a game, I feel like it's a different animal. It's hard to practice it.
It's really hard to manufacture like the energy of a non-game. Yeah. Now, they were also at games. They did go to real games and do a broadcast not on the air. But and even that, I think you like subconsciously know that you're not, no one's hearing it. So all those nerves come flooding in yesterday, which is why he was making he was flubbing things, and he was kind of like he'd flip teams sometimes, like weird things, like But honestly, like to me, just listening to it and hearing the other guys working yesterday, he just doesn't have the voice for that job. Like he may again end up saying the most beautiful things, profound things. But I have never, going back to the sideline yelling at his teammates, his voice is like nails on a chalkboard to me.
Well, I mean, listen, he likes to be coached hard. There's such a thing as voice coaches. I mean, you can get somebody to help you with that kind of thing if he really wants to. And if anyone at Fox has the stones to tell him that he needs one.
All right. One thing I kind of just, he is doing afternoon games. He's not the standalone game at night, so he will have a lot of time. Like Romo did a game last. I don't even know where I watch Sun. You know, I watch Red
Romo
Zone.
Was
I watch
doing Raiders Chargers.
Yeah. Like you could be buried a little bit in that game. He's gonna have some big games, but I think he has plenty of opportunity to learn. Like Collinsworth is out there on an island.
That's
We're just
true.
All ripping him all, and Aikman too. And by the way, Brady has a long way to catch up to those guys.
They're Picasso compared to what Brady was doing.
I wonder if they took some time too. I what Bogus said about his voice, I heard a lot of that. Like, God, he's a little whiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one should ever get into TV. This is why you're the greatest of all time. Like, don't do it. Because you leave yourself open to some crazy criticism.
But I think you're better off sounding the part than like actually doing it. Like I'd rather have a good voice say dumb stuff than say good stuff with an annoying voice.
Yeah.
Mm. Who's that?
Well, a lot of people. I don't know.
And we're looking at you.
I'm jealous of many of them. I wish I had a good voice.
You know who's gonna have a good voice? Dak Prescott. Here we go. There you go, Ryan. That was good, right?
That was good too.
Thank you. Finally, someone
He's
around here
two.
Appreciates impersonation.
He's 2 for 2. Don't encourage him. Sheesh. Bogus, thank you for that. We've got a lot more to get to, including more NFL stuff. Cowboys, Steelers, who had the best and worst of the weekend, including the Raiders. See you guys on the phone. You want to talk about what's going on with the Raiders? We talked about the race to the bottom. Could the Raiders be in that conversation? And Jim Harbaugh gets his first win on the flip side. Very Harbaugh-esque, Perloff. You really nailed what this is going to look like for the Chargers. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, they're happy.
Yeah, that's great. You have a quarterback you're paying $200 million to. Why doesn't he throw 8-yard out routes the whole time? 855-212-4227. Maggie Perloff.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We are going to dive into college football in just one moment. We have a segment on Mondays called College Football Report Card. Quickly, though, Steve's in the Bay Area, wants to talk about his Raiders. Rough day for you, Steve. How you holding up?
I'm not. I'm born and raised in Chicago, but I've been a Raider fan since 1975 before I even knew where California was. But I've had more misery than fortune with these Raiders. I don't know. It seems like the people that's out there coaching and managing, making decisions, they're like subpar compared to other teams. And, you know, I had to go to work and listen to the 49ers today. And, you know, it just seems like they're the people that run their team, they elite. They know what they're doing. I don't know. I love my Raiders, but guess what? I have on my Bears hat this morning.
Well, and the Bears got a win, Steve, and thank you for the phone call. Caleb Williams didn't exactly light the world on fire yesterday. He didn't even crack 100 yards. Quarterback rating was in the toilet. But, yeah, the Raiders, I mean, you have no quarterback, really, and this is going to be a long season and one where I think Devontae Adams is going to end up on a different team.
You had every opportunity to win that game yesterday. The offense just did not show up. You are so right. You've been kind of waiting for that Devontae Adams trade.
I have.
There's so many teams. There were some wide receiver injuries yesterday. I'm like, ooh, Devontae Adams would be great there. He'd be great here. He'd be great. There's so many teams that could add him. The one team that probably doesn't need him because of where they are as a franchise is the Raiders. They clearly need a quarterback. It seems like, I mean, it's week one. Let's not kill the team completely. It seems like they'll be in the quarterback game.
We have a lot more to say on the Raiders, but we do want to get to our college football report card. Let's do it.
Oh, time to go. I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally gonna kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
EJ, we don't have a lot of time, so let's get to it. Who are we grading first?
All right, let's go to Oregon. The Mighty Ducks needed a late field goal to survive an upset bid from Boise. What grade are you giving Oregon this weekend?
You go first, Maggie, because I know I'm going to have a higher grade than you.
I'm giving them a C. I love Boise. They're my group of five champion, and Janty is awesome, and he should be in the Heisman conversation. But the amount of explosive plays they had to be this close in this game when Dylan Gabriel is slinging the ball all around the field, off, what is going on in Oregon?
First of all, they went against the new, I don't know if he's Billy Sims. I mean, Ashton Genty is unbelievable.
Is.
So I think I'm going to give credit to Boise there. And I'm going to give them a B minus. I want to be a little higher. They have a bunch of easy games before that huge Ohio State game. Oregon does feel like Dylan Gabriel is so sharp. You're right. Like, the ball doesn't touch the ground. I don't understand why they're not a little bit better. I think they have time, and maybe they pull an upset against Ohio State. They still are in good position because of their schedule to make a run for the playoffs, so I'm not giving up on them. They did, at least they got the wins, and Idaho played tough again this week. Maybe it's a competition.
I have no faith that Oregon is going to go beat Ohio State, and you guys know.
No, they could lose that game and still be fine, though.
Yeah, but it has been a rough start to the season. I get it, you know, that they've actually found a way to win these games, but by the skin of their teeth. EJ, who else are we grading this week?
All right, let's go to Texas. Quinn Ewers threw three touchdowns in Longhorns blowout win of Michigan. What's the grade for them?
Oof. I mean, A plus, plus, plus.
Plus, plus, plus.
For
Michigan, F.
I have a side bet. I don't know how I got. I have a side bet. Who's going to go higher in the NFL draft? With I did this podcast with Will Kane, formerly ESPN, now Fox, about who'll go higher, Quinn Ewers or Cam Ward. And I said Cam Ward, the Miami quarterback. But man, Ewers looked like an NFL pro on Saturday to me. He looked perfect.
Yeah, I was really surprised. This was a game I actually thought Michigan was going to point themselves a lot better here. I thought the defense was at least going to put up a little resistance here. I know the offense for Michigan is obviously going to be super conservative. They got to figure out what's going on with their quarterback situation in Michigan. And this was a wake-up call. I mean, I know the fan base is just happy that you won the national championship, but you go in, you get pushed around like that?
Yeah, I mean, they were 7.5-point dogs. I don't think...
And they lost by 30.
Yeah, I don't think the final score was that by that much, was it? But regardless, though, I don't think the expectations are high in Michigan. Maybe I'm an overly optimistic person, but I feel like the vibes from last year will carry them to some form of peace throughout this crappy season.
31-12, yeah, was the final score. But Michigan got some late scores that made this look a little bit better.
It was never close. And Texas, actually, it's amazing how well they moved the ball in the first half against that Michigan defense. There's nothing going on offensively for Michigan. There's just nothing there.
EJ, we got time for one little one.
Coach Prime, they got blown out in Nebraska. What are you giving Deion Sanders?
D. And I think I'm being generous there.
I don't even know if you need to grade Coach Prime. It's like he's like a 6-year senior. 0.0.
You know what? I was disappointed in Colorado.
Yeah, me too.
Nebraska looked good, by the way. Dylan Raiola is amazing. And the run game really was the key to the whole thing. But Colorado, I mean, in every way you can get pushed around. And I feel bad for Travis Hunter because he is the best player on the field and there's only so much he can possibly do.
No, you're right. You can only play two different ways. I mean, he plays every play, Maggie. What else do you want him to do?
I mean, are we still paying attention to Colorado? That was rough. You're welcome to weigh in on college football at 855-212-4227.